What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
No, Mr. Big Voice Man. Happy New Year's Eve to you, by the way, Mr. Big Voice Man. No, it is myself, Reginald Adetula, and B. Scott in for John Lopez here in the loop on this New Year's Eve. Colin Neal on the ones and two in for one Figgy Fig, who I believe was listening earlier because he still loves Sports Radio 610.
Yes.
Even though he's taking the day. In fact, if you're still listening, go do something, man.
Yeah, but he can go do something and take us with him. That's the beauty of, as you mentioned at the top of the program, the fact that you can get involved with it however you like, whether that's in your car, whether that's on your app, whether that's on the YouTube or the Twitch chats. He can go have a great, wonderful New Year's Eve and still be locked in to In the Loop, which I hope he is, and I hope you remain.
Okay.
Whoever right. you are that's listening.
And it's a fair point.
We got well two more made, hours of the show. So
well
it.
Made by Brandon Scott.
Yeah.
And I will take that. I will heed it. This is neither here nor there, but I guess I just want to mention this while it's still front of mind. Something is in the water in New England, bro. It is not good. It is not good at all. As yet another New England Patriot has been accused of something for... I feel like they should not make this a trend that every day they have some level of allegations that you do not want. But what was it? Christian Barmore, defensive tackle, facing assault and battery charges in a domestic dispute.
Good God.
So, yeah, not good.
Can everybody just relax?
Just
calm the hell down.
It's the New
guys.
Year's, guys. Let's what's
No, but it is an uncomfortable reminder that, like, the holiday season, we always view it as, oh, man, it's a holly jolly time. Not always, right? Like, it can also go the other way. Not that I'm trying to, like, put that out there or anything, but...
Nah, people be wilding out in the holidays. You're right about that.
It is a reminder, right? It is a reminder in some ways, but yeah.
Allegedly.
Really, allegedly, and it's unfortunate that is the case. Anyways, let me bring it back home where thankfully that is not something that is a cause for concern at this moment. But we're finishing out the year, I think, strong in the 2025 season. And I think within this, the word finish matters a great deal because D'Amico Ryans has been the mantra all year long. Just finish games. And as they've gotten better at that, that has put them in a place where now they're going to the playoffs. They have a strong stand to be in the playoffs and maybe make a run. And I kind of wanted to look at the anatomy of the finish, B. Scott. Will you join me on this? Because I was going back through my notes, going back and looking at the early portions of the season and seeing what created their ability to finish and like where they started. And where they start was one, the very evident one. The offense was really bad.
Yes.
Like the offense was really bad. And some of it was like the Nick Haley and the offensive staff wasn't dialed into what players did well. And it was so obvious because all the preseason talk from Nick Haley when you hired him was we're going to do things that put players in position to be the best versions of themselves.
That's what they said.
And you want to know what the most visible instance of that dichotomy being there was versus Tampa Bay. Damian Pierce, who was still on the team at that point. You remember them? You remember
wow.
him? Pepperidge Farm remembers. Damian Pierce was, they were utilizing him. They were throwing him on toss plays. And I vividly remember Damian Pierce making mention this preseason that he don't really like toss plays. Like it's not really in his bag. It's not his wheelhouse. And I saw that. And I was like, oh, we're not in a good place.
To be fair though, with Damian Pierce, it seemed to get to a point to where he ain't really like no plays. Like, what were, by the end of it, and I love Damian Pierce, man, such a joy to be around. But by the end of it, what were exactly the optimal Damian Pierce plays? I don't know if they existed.
Kick returns?
I was going to say, especially, it's probably kick returns. I was going to say, especially with an offensive line that was trying to find itself. And you could argue still is.
That's also part of the inability to run the football consistently.
Yeah.
I think was also one of those things that you had to look at earlier in those games.
I mean, think about that as the, you know, with the red zone issues. What games were those, forgetting off the top of my head, but, you know, the times when they tried to ram it in from, you know, two or three times in a row you know, from you know, the 1 yard line or 2 yard line, and just couldn't do so because they could not move. They didn't have an offensive line that could move people. This is when I first came up with the take, or at least developed the take myself, that the Texans really only excel when they have the benefit of having the element of surprise. When it's clearly a passing down or clearly a running situation, which is what happens when the field shortens in the red zone, you kind of run out of options of what different types of things you're going to do. When you don't have that element of surprise, this team did not this team was not good enough, offensively at least, was not good enough to just beat you despite the fact that you knew what was coming, right? Like the anti-Philadelphia Eagles, right? Tush push coming, or they were getting ready to run the ball. You might know it. Their playbook ain't that complicated. You know kind of what they're going to do, but they're so damn good at executing it, and their players are excellent, that it didn't matter that you knew it. The Texans did not have that benefit. They had to do their work on first and second down when you couldn't necessarily get a beat on what they were doing. You knew they were running the ball. You could bow up because they weren't going to move you off the line.
And some of that was because of some of the ways that the offensive line was situated. Remember, early on in the season, they also did not find the answer there. And it was somewhat to be expected that the answer would not be fully solidified early, but it shouldn't have looked the way that it did. Remember, we were having conversations all through training camp where it was like, have they settled on the offensive line yet? Are they settling on the offensive line yet? And even the deadlines that they were setting, like Caserio on with Payne and Pendergast, as he is periodically throughout the season and the year, was like, yeah, we hope to by next week, right, have a good idea. And they were still shifting stuff. We're like, hold on. So when are you going to find out? And it became very evident that they didn't find out until well into the season what the offensive line was actually, with Lakin Tomlinson playing left guard and Cam Robinson. Actually, in the first game, it wasn't even that. Remember, they had to do the shuffle that everybody got very mad about, having Ariante Ursa remove around and everything. Right. There was a lot level of disheveledness on the offensive line that was not going to allow them to be their best selves. And then I think the third thing offensively that counteracted their ability to finish: penalties.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Penalties.
Yeah, I forgot about that one, man.
Here's the give, and they blow the play dead.
Yeah.
Looks like a false start.
Yeah, that's kind of their thing. The penalties, and whenever we would ask about it, like, what does the offense do? We need to play cleaner. We need to not beat ourselves, which, you know, brought us to this point of, like, what is this offense? This is literally it wasn't just something that they needed to correct, but it was also a key strategy and approach in their offense. Is like, what is this offense? One that doesn't beat itself. One, again, like I mentioned yesterday and have mentioned throughout the week, one that possesses the ball. Well, it's hard to do that and in a positive way when you're pushing yourself back, right? Penalties. Okay, you're pushing yourself back. Well, now you're making it harder for on the next down, and now you're going to probably give the ball away. And you're not a prolific enough offense to make up for. And they actually ended up kind of showing some of this in the Davis Mills time. But they weren't good enough at that time, at least earlier on in the season, to make up for, to excel in spite of themselves, to make up for their own mistakes in that way. So they figured that part out, so, at least a little bit.
I feel like those are the offensive things that made them not good at finishing. And those are the things, some of those things are the things that have helped them now in the, you know, that they have changed these in a decent amount, made them better at finishing. The offensive line, they have found what I think works for them. With obviously Tay's stash at right at left tackle. It's funny because they've had to move this around a little bit and they've managed to keep this going, but with having Jake Andrews in at center, as much as I still look at him and I see him get blown back, it is working for communication and what have you elsewhere there. It is working well enough. Ed Ingram has been the star of the offensive line.
I agree.
At least when it comes to expectation relative to what he actually did.
And doggedness.
Yes, he is a tough son of a gun.
Yes, yes. And I'll even say Andrews, who gets pushed back,
he's not very good. He does have heart. I'll give him that. He's just not to your
what point. A backhanded compliment, but I love it.
The hey, man's got the man's got the man's
it,
got heart.
It ain't about the size of the dog in the fight. It's about the size of the fight in the dog.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
He's the ultimate that.
Defense is the place where it got the most interesting, I think. When mm-hmm. It's funny because closing, I think, and all year long, it's been how much can you blame the defense, whatever. But I think early on, closing was somewhat a defense issue.
Yeah, I mean, we did this when they released C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and I think he was kind of maybe a somewhat unfairly singled out because it was easy. It was just kind of easy and convenient to do with the guy on his way out the door. But that dude did give up some plays that were costly early on in the season.
You think create problems that then created chain links that had.
Yeah, literally from the start of the season, you can go back to the Rams game and all the way through the Bucks game, the Jaguars game before he gets released. Like there are moments there, and did get cleaner once he was gone. So I will point that out. But, yeah, no, I think defensively, you know, you think back to, you know, we talked about how mobile quarterbacks hurt this defense, right? Baker Mayfield and Henry Toa, not to single him out, but not being able to get enough of a hand on Baker Mayfield late in that game that allowed them to do what they did. Bo Nix was somebody that was able to make some plays despite – that offense not looking very good in that game. And the Texas defense had a lot to do with that. But yeah, no, as great as the defense is and has been for the totality of the season, it is easy to forget how soon we forget these moments, these lapses here where it wasn't quite good enough or was the reason why they weren't quite good enough.
And it's fair to make the argument that the offense failed the defense in having them out there so often for fair. Those instances.
It is fair.
But if we're breaking this down as we're doing the anatomy of the finish for this Texans team. I think you highlighted some of these. One of those was bad defensive line contain. And I feel comfortable saying bad defensive line contain because as early on in the season, one of the things that felt very evident was I was looking at how is Will Anderson Jr. going to progress? And I was looking at this pass rush wise. I was like, oh, man, this is going to go to a whole nother level. And I think that might have hampered them in some ways. Tell me if you think I'm wrong here, B. Scott, because I think they were so focused on getting forward that then contain became the issue. Maybe not as much with Matt Stafford himself, but week two with Baker Mayfield.
Definitely with Baker Mayfield, yeah.
Picking up that 4th and 10, taking 17 yards, keeping that drive going, and ultimately going and scoring the game-winning touchdown there. Jacksonville, this happens as well. You mentioned Bo Nix. Like, this happens. It wasn't until, and I think that the person who I like putting the hat on here is Sheldon Rankins. I think that what they realized was, one, the defense, your edges have to be better in contain and not getting too far deep, not giving that quarterback an opportunity to step forward and escape forward.
And they have been,
exactly.
Yeah.
But I think also some of that was when that quarterback rolls out and gets beyond that edge, your defensive tackle also has to come and now be that secondary pursuit guy that's not going to allow the cornerback to turn the edge. And it's so frequently, number 90, with the awareness of, oh, I see a screen is coming and I'm going to get out here. I see that guy is about to get out. I need to go and contain. And I think that those are the things that have helped them really reel this in. And the secondary on the backside being able to cover, that comes back into play when that quarterback is still having to keep his eyes downfield because you're not going to go and just pick it up with your legs.
We did a thing during the break of, and so I'll bring it here to air, of how did the bargain binging go for the Texans this offseason? And we were looking more so on the offensive side of the ball, but probably the most, I feel comfortable saying this, the most underrated signing was a re-signing was bringing back Sheldon Rankins.
Agreed.
I think that is something that for the most part flew under the radar. And then also like the interior defensive line. And this is even to the point that you're making about, you know, how they, you know, the containment issues still looked at as a weakness of the team or a weakness of the defense especially, and just quite frankly has not been so as expected. And I think in large part because of Sheldon Rankins and his savviness, steadiness, leadership, and understanding these exact things that you're talking
so there's
about.
That can I interest you in tackles?
Oh yeah, they were
missed bad. They were missing a lot of tackles early.
Yeah, they are sporadic with that even still. Like it happened against the Raiders, I feel like, or the Raiders Cardinals, yeah. One of those
no,
two
it
games.
Definitely was definitely like, Raiders.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, this is a thing that comes up from time to time, oddly enough, with them.
But they were missing them more consistently.
Yes.
And That's the reason why D'Amico Ryans didn't sound all too enthused after the Raiders game, because I imagine in his mind, he's like, hey, man, I thought we fixed this. But that's a it's a ever-present. You have to continue harping on that to make sure it goes. And then one of the things that I thought was most interesting as I was looking at the anatomy of the finish for these Texans, they used to be really bad at stopping the run early on in the year.
Very early on in the year, yeah. They were not good at it. They have now been good at it for long enough that it's easy to forget about it. Like, I want to say the first 3 weeks of the season.
First 3 weeks of the season, they were
not good.
They were 27th in rushing success rate allowed. 27th.
Ooh, even worse than I thought. Even worse than I remember. So
they are significantly better than that now. All of these things, they've managed to turn around. The question that I wanted to ultimately get to here is this team is a finishing team. They run the ball sufficient enough, and especially in those moments where they need to. The penalties have largely dissipated, especially offensively, I think, interestingly enough. Nick Haley has done a much better job at putting guys in the positions that they need to be in moments. You've got in-breakers happening, and there's still places for development there. Defensively, they contain. They tackle. They stop the run.
Yes.
They turn the ball over as well, which wasn't happening as much early on in the season. Is there anything more? Like, they have been really good at finishing, and maybe this is a greedy thought. Is there a place where they could finish better, or they could do something better to help their finishing efforts?
Well,
because I think that's the thing that'll put them in a place where you go, oh, they're undeniable in the postseason.
Dare I say, open up the offense just a little bit in the second half?
Is there a reasonable place where they could continue to?
What's so damn unreasonable about that? And I'm saying this is somebody that has grown to accept the state of affairs, if you will. Like, I get the logic in what they're doing. Not saying that I agree with it or love it, but I certainly understand it. Like, this defense has shown you enough for you to lean into that being your identity. But I feel like that is the place to kind of do a little bit of that, do a little bit more of that foot on the gas and not foot on the brake once you have developed the lead or feel comfortable with where you are in the game. That's the thing that it still feels like they don't necessarily do, and I feel like they'll have to do or will be more necessary for them in the playoffs.
I just don't know exactly how that shows up. You know what I mean? I think that the ability to maintain the football, right, and pick up third downs and not have as many three and outs, although they do still have those, especially in lulls that are frustrating, but be able to extend drives, keeps the defense off the field and keeps them in places where they can finish. They can, you know, snuff out games. I don't know how then you take that and you go, all right, because I guess I need to ask the question of what do you mean when you say open up the offense? Is it more chunk plays and more opportunities to get your yards quickly?
More aggressive game plan in the second half that is similar to what we saw early in that Chargers game or early in other games that we've watched them play. You know, it seems like the Bills game was an example of how people felt that way. Like I actually disagreed with some of that. I thought there were reasons why they took their foot off the gas a little bit that were much more rational than people gave it credit for. But point still being the same of, hey, lean into it a little bit. Play with a little bit more swag coach with a little bit more swag and confidence, particularly on the offensive side of the ball.
Is it weird that I don't know how much I trust that, because I think that in that attempt, you might give up some of the ground that you've gained in finishing?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to happen. You're just asking me what I think they should do. That's what I would go with. I think the formula that we've seen is the formula that they're going to go with for better and or worse.
But the fact of the matter is they've tightened pretty much all the lug nuts on the finish tire in this tortured metaphor that I've thrown out here.
Yeah.
And here they are as we are finishing 2025, a finishing team in the National Football League, one of the better ones that I think that you could look at.
Yeah, it's the reason why I've actually grown to be comfortable with their conservative nature, because they have learned how to finish, right? It's the reason why I have been kind of shoulder shrugging at how pitiful the offense can be at times, because they do seem to know how to finish games. And I've said that I'm okay with them starting out hot, doing their work early, especially if they can finish, and it looks like they've been able to do so and learned how to do so.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll do our lunchtime confessions.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.